talk about this plan of yours. I think it's good, except it sucks. So let me do the plan, and that way it might be really good.
Wow.
Hello, and welcome to It's Good Except It Sucks, a movie-by-movie and television series-by-television series hurtled through the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This time, we're taking a look at Inhumans, first seen in September 2017, when, if you wanted to look clever in front of your friends, you could watch Pickler and Ben, The Opposition with Jordan Klepper, or Mike Judge Presents Tales from the Tour Bus instead. I'm Tim Worthington, and we'll be finding out what I made of Inhumans shortly. Meanwhile, joining us to give his thoughts on the humans is podcaster Phil Catterall. Phil, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Phil5000. I always think at. You need to, but then that's a Star Wars vehicle. It's not the thing. Or at Don't Let's Chart on Twitter, which is a podcast that I do with Ben Baker, formerly of this parish.
And you did actually do once in that a top 10 of the worst Marvel superheroes, but I'm wondering if we're going to find out if your opinion on that has changed after watching Inhumans. But before we go any further, Phil, what happens in Inhumans?
Right, so the Inhuman royal family who live in a city on the moon are deposed in a bloodless coup by, oh no, it's not that bloodless, by the king's brother, Maximus, and flee to Hawaii, and hijinks ensue? Question mark. Definitely a number of things happen in Hawaii, whether you want them to or not. So yeah, it's... There's a lot going on in this one, Tim. I know I said this when we did Iron Man 3, but there's even more going on here.
Well, I'm looking forward to the answers to this then. Phil, how much did you know about the Inhumans before you saw this show?
Well, interestingly, I did know a reasonable amount. So there was an alternate universe Marvel series called Earth-X that revolved quite a lot around the Inhumans and Terrigen Mists and things like that. So the Inhuman royal family feature heavily in that. And there was also a 12-part series in about 2013 by Paul Jenkins and Jay Lee, just called Inhumans, which the start of this cribs quite heavily from, and then picks bits of it at random to go, oh, we'll do that bit as well, seemingly. So I knew a reasonable amount. I knew like who the main characters were and what their whole deal was, which meant on a couple of occasions I did have to go, but that's not how what they do works. So just enough to be annoyed, I think, is the correct level of knowledge for me here.
Well, I knew enough to be annoyed in a very different way, because my background with them is I used to read the Fantastic Four comic, the UK edition, a lot as a child. And quite often in it, the Fantastic Four would have to go off on a mission. And you think, oh, this is going to be quite exciting. Are they going to go and see Black Panther, or are they going to go to space or whatever? Time after time, I would turn the page and think, oh, not them! Not that stupid dog and that drippy girl and that, oh, woe is me, man who can't talk. I hated them. I should have loved them because, you know, let's just get this out of the way. Medusa, technically their second in command, is a voluptuous lady with uncontrollable red hair that can attack men. So
yeah,
that was almost calculated to appeal to me, but I just couldn't stand them. And that's why I loved it because before this, the Inhumans, after a fashion, turned up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They did, yeah.
From the start of Series 2, where they found a really interesting new way of doing them, which was just that S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of stumbled across them while they were trying to retrieve an artifact that I think Peggy Carter commandeered it from Hydra in the Second World War, and Hydra were trying to get it back. And it turned out that, long story short, the Inhumans were the Kree, who were an alien race who featured very heavily in Marvel, are starting to feature in the films more, had thought maybe we could make humans into warriors. It didn't quite work. They left people with the genetic marker, got passed down, blah, blah, blah. So S.H.I.E.L.D. found them in the present as people who had abilities, unpredictable abilities, but were trying to stay undetected out of the limelight. That worked really well. It turned out one of them, Daisy, was an Inhuman as well, or rather Quake, as she then became. But they obviously thought, this is great, let's do a series based on the classic comic Inhumans. And yeah, you can imagine my face when I read that news.
I mean, especially when you learn who was going to be showrunning it in the form of the guy that did Iron Fist.
Yeah, I don't understand that they took him off Iron Fist because it... I mean, this is quite an important thing, really. I will say a lot in defence of Iron Fist, even of Series 1.
Yeah.
I will defend Series 1 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as not quite there, but getting there.
I've got
positive things to say about The Incredible Hulk, Thor the Dark World, Avengers Age of Ultron. This, I've just got nothing positive to say about it. It's worse than bad. It's just there.
There is something. So my impression in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when they brought the Inhumans into it was they really wanted to use the X-Men.
Yeah.
They really wanted mutants, but Fox still had the license. And the impression that I get from Inhumans is they started doing this, and then as they were making it, the deal to buy out Fox went through, and suddenly all the money fell out of the bottom of Inhumans and any interest in using them for anything. Because if you've got the X-Men back, you'd want to use them for this sort of thing, wouldn't you?
And also, you can tell the money ran out because this was my biggest problem with it. Almost straight away, they have Medusa's hair shaved off, you know, her sentient tactile hair, so they don't have to use that expensive effect in the rest of the series. Now, there are good ways of tackling things you can't afford to do. I mean, there are things like, in Jessica Jones the 10th, it was a running joke that we don't actually see her fly.
Yeah.
And she says things like, it's just structured falling when, you know, anyone asks about it. In Guardians of the Galaxy, they made the decision at the outset that because there was so much going on, they couldn't have an animal actor as well, so they just had Cosmo the Space Dog doing a cameo, which is enough for people who knew who he was to say hooray.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't matter that he what was I saying he about Cosmo the Space Dog for, that he wasn't in it. But this, it just felt like an absolute cheat. It was almost like they were whipping the fact that the woman who can whip you in the face with her hair wouldn't be whipping you in the face with her hair.
Yeah, I was going to say that the scene with Maximus getting rid of Medusa's hair is in that comic that I talked about, the Paul Jenkins one, but it's like the end of the second act, start of the third act, so it's kind of a big deal at that point. And also, in the comic, he does it with scissors, whereas in this, he seems to have bought some hair clippers from, like, Boots or something. They don't look particularly futuristic or spacey. It's like, where did you get those, Max? Where did they come from? Because it's a weird thing to be annoyed about, but it doesn't fit with the aesthetic of anything else in that moon city. Oh, also, Gorgon, whose main power is having goat legs, they just have him put shoes on halfway through the first episode, and then they never render those legs again, do they? It's just he's wearing shoes. And I guess Triton was difficult to do as well because he was green, so let's sort of nearly kill him at the start of the first episode and have him reappear in like the last two. Anything that would have been significant effort over and above Lockjaw is just kind of done away with as quickly as possible, which is tiresome.
We should just say for anyone that doesn't know, Lockjaw is a teleporting dog.
Yeah. See, I like the idea of Lockjaw, and I think it's one of the few things in this that's actually rendered well. Unfortunately, it's ruined by the fact that near enough every single time he's on screen, he's near Crystal, who is rubbish. She's rubbish. She's absolutely rubbish.
She is. And I think that's the point where we should talk about trying to work out who this was aimed at. Because my view is that apparently they intended it to be kind of like a family drama. But my take on it is it looks like something that initially they were trying to do something for kind of the sort of audience that, you know, might not have got to see Ant-Man but would watch Desperate Housewives. It's that kind of thing. But then they thought, oh, hang on, what about the lucrative nerd market? We'd better make it a bit more tedious and dull. And they did. And it just doesn't seem to be aimed at anyone in particular.
It's probably worth saying that in the first episode, the main cast are sort of scattered, I'd say, to the four winds, but it's all Hawaii. They don't go anywhere other than Hawaii. Karnak ends up with a bunch of people growing drugs, I think. Gorgon, I can't quite work out who the group of people he ends up with are, even though I only watched this like 3 days ago. He ends up with a group of freedom fighters, but I'm not sure what they're fighting for freedom from. That seems unclear. Black Bolt ends up in the middle of a city and has some hilarious fish out of water moments where he steals some clothes and then is arrested. That's pretty much it. And Medusa's just kind of wandering about. She's not... She meets a friendly scientist who wants to go to the moon. That's her character arc. She comes to terms with not having her hair fairly quickly. Fairly quickly. She adapts fairly quickly. It doesn't seem like she had that much use for the hair the way the series treats her. But yeah, each of... Oh, and then Crystal meets a boy. And... I don't know. As you say, all of these things are a different tone entirely to each other, and they've just mashed them all into one thing. There's bits of it that feel like the old late 90s, early noughties, soft-focused sci-fi things that you'd get on Sky One or on BBC Two at 6 o'clock, like Roswell. Roswell is the one that sprung immediately to mind, or Roswell High, depending on which season you're watching. It's something a bit Incredible Hulk-y about the Black Bolt stuff, in terms of the he's on the run and that sort of thing. I don't know what the Karnak stuff is supposed to be. I don't know.
Karnak, obviously played by Ken Ken Leung, who this started to ring alarm bells when he was watching it. He's in it. Henry Ying Cusack is in it.
Yeah.
It's largely filmed in Hawaii. And you think, oh my God, stop bringing Lost into it. We do not need something reminding people of Lost.
I did think, as soon as I saw Henry Ying Cusack's name in it, I did think, wait, is he contractually obligated to appear in anything that's in Hawaii? Did he move to Hawaii and now everything that films there hires him? I'm not sure why he's... And he's clearly doing the sort of the John Hannah in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. type role, but he's doing it... He doesn't get enough screen time to do anything with it, really, does he? You don't get anything particularly interesting. He just dies at the end. Doctor!
I welcome you all to our Terrigenesis ceremony, a sacred touchstone of our civilization that allows the true nature of the individual to be revealed.
We are the change that we seek.
Marvels and Humans, debuting in IMAX September 1st. Get tickets now. Premiering September 29th, ABC.
And also, I've got massive problems with Maximus, who isn't a bad character in the comics. But here, I don't know what was going on, but the portrayal here is halfway between Timothy Claypole from Rent-A-Ghost and the Mark Heap character out of Jam, who he even looks quite like as well.
Yeah.
He looks like the bloke who says, Mr. Lizard.
You know, that's it, yeah.
Because of that, he's not really... he would be threatening in a different way if Mark Heap played him like that, which is, you know, a good idea if you're going to reboot it, which we'll come back to, but no.
It's... I don't know why they went with the angle of Maximus as, oh, he did his Terrigenesis thing and he became human. It doesn't have to match the comic. I know it doesn't have to match the comic, but Maximus's whole deal was that he went through Terrigenesis and it didn't look like anything had happened. And then he gradually turned out over time to have psychic powers and was then driven mad by Black Bolt shouting at something, which is an even more convoluted version of how his parents died. That also involved the Kree, so I understand why they didn't do that. You would have had to bring the Kree into it fairly early on, and no one wants to do that. So the stuff on Atalan as well looks incredibly cheap. Like, the scenes where crowds are being addressed, there's like about eight people standing in a hole. This is supposed to be the oppressed underclass that are doing all the manual labor, and there's literally about 10 of them, and we know that they're the underclass because they are standing in a hole. It's really not good.
And the thing was, they clearly thought it was going to be massive. I mean, the first thing is, do you know what it was actually chosen over by ABC?
I don't.
There was a pilot for Marvel's Most Wanted, which would have been...
Oh, that was the Bobby
Mockingbird and Lance Hunter from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. teaming up with Dominic Fortune, who's a kind of 40s cinema-style Marvel adventurer. It was a great character, you know, a kind of... swashbuckling cinema serial type. That would have been fantastic.
I remember the big send-off they gave those two characters in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was a big deal that they were leaving, but it was like, okay, well, we know they're getting their own spin-off, and then no spin-off for you.
Yeah, ABC turned it down in favour of Inhumans, and the initial plan was to show each episode, premiere each episode in IMAX cinemas.
That lasted
2 weeks. I pity anyone who went to see that. There were talks in promotional interviews about how they were developing Black Bolt sign language, and they saw it as catching on like Klingon or Dothraki. And like, you know, good luck with that. You know, Klingon took about 20-odd years to become a thing anyway.
Yeah.
And it got to the stage where I've only found second-hand reports of this, but apparently Chloe Bennett, who played Daisy in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., was asked, are you going to be appearing in Inhumans? She said, there are no plans to feature Daisy in Inhumans. That is proper shade if she actually did say that also is somebody saying, I don't want to associate myself with that. Thank you very much.
It's impressive how quickly Marvel walked back the idea that it was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spin-off and just went, oh no, it's its own thing. It's just over there. It's over there. And this was like before it was coming out. It's like, oh no, you're already distancing yourself from this. This is going to be bad. But yeah, anyone that saw this in IMAX, the special effects are so ropey. They would look dreadful on a house size screen. You know, the one or two shots that we get of Medusa's hair are terrible in this. There's such a low amount of effort gone into it. And yeah, no, It was bad enough watching it on my quite big TV. Never mind. In an IMAX. Yeah. See, it seems like they've sort of completely disassociated from it now. I don't think we're going to see any of it back. And Anson Mount has got better things to do now anyway, as he's Captain Pike in, well, Star Trek Discovery and then whatever the new series is called that I can't remember.
And also, I'll give him absolute credit for this. Apparently, there's a long story about when Vin Diesel was doing the voice for Groot for the first Guardians of the Galaxy film.
Mm.
He apparently said, oh, if you're ever going to do anything with Black Bolt, I loved him when I was a kid. Could I play him? And there was a kind of awkward shuffling silence. But apparently now, Anson Mount was recently asked about the future of, you know, Black Bolt and the humans, and he basically said, let him do it again. Let him have another go and let Vin Diesel do it. I thought, top marks to him for that. I mean, I am not big on recasting. I would rather they just forgot about it. To be honest, they did try to forget about it because for years you couldn't get hold of this. It's now on Disney Plus and Amazon Prime, but it was never commercially released and it kind of disappeared. And I wonder if they will ever reboot the Inhumans anyway, because as I said, they've got the X-Men now. They're now doing the Eternals as well. And I think they're going in a different direction with it. It looks like you're going to be bringing S.W.O.R.D. in to replace S.H.I.E.L.D. So there's going to be a lot more up in space. And there's people doing Kung Fu. There's two Far East and Middle East set movies coming out. So I don't know where the Inhumans are going to fit in, unfortunately, for Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot that doesn't work. And I think, but aside from the actress playing Crystal, I don't think it's a bad cast.
No, I think Surinder Swan as Medusa is really, really good. It's just they give her so little to do.
Yeah, she wanders around and occasionally like points a gun at people. And then there's some kung fu. I also don't understand why Triton, who, you know, lives in water, he's a really like Matrix style kung fu expert. It doesn't seem particularly congruous with someone that would move well underwater. That, you know, fair enough, whatever. It was just like, oh, I guess they've got the fish guy now. I wonder how his powers are going. Oh, he just cuts people with knives. Okay, that's fine. But yeah, it's a good cast. And I saw Anson Mount in Discovery before I saw him in this, so I was already fairly sure he was going to do Black Bolt as much justice as he could have done. And I think he's fine. It's just he's not served by the material or the sets or the special effects or or anything.
I think it doesn't help as well that there's so little connection to the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean,
yes,
it is part of it. You know, it is definitely part of it. But there's very little. I mean, you even notice things. Like I've recently noticed, I've got mad and started trying to watch them all in story order.
Oh, no. Why would you do that?
Well, you notice things like there is set up in a vague sense of the first Guardians of the Galaxy film and the first two episodes of Series 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
That isn't really overstated. It's just, you know, all kinds of things like that come to light. I hadn't noticed until I rewatched that there's a brief reference to the warehouse from the Defenders in the first series of Daredevil. All kinds of things like that. But this just doesn't have really any of that. I imagine they would have put in crossover things as they went on. But, you know, given that the cast of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. were saying, no thanks, mate, I don't know if it would have happened. But it's almost like it's completely out on its own, and it makes me feel sorry for it in a very slight way.
Yeah, it is. Everything else has got at least a connection to one other thing, and they don't even really like mention the Kree creating the Inhumans or anything. It seems like they really just wanted to put this thing in its own box so that if it went wrong they could just push that box into the sea and pretend that nothing happened. It is a shame. They could have done more with it if they'd hewn closer to that comic series, which does more with the class system other than tell you that there is one and that it's bad, that does more with Maximus being genuinely like he's brilliant but also distressingly mad. And yeah, there's a lot that goes on in that they've lifted bits but not enough to save what this was, because they were clearly determined to make a soap opera set in Hawaii.
Well, what would you like to see them do with the Inhumans going forward? Because my kind of view is, I admit I have my own problems with the Inhumans, but I don't especially want them to reboot it full stop. I would be happy to see some of them turn up. Well, I mean, the Fantastic Four are on their way now, so you could feasibly have Medusa and Crystal. Maybe, I know you won't like this, but maybe even played by the same cast, you know, appearing alongside them. What's your take on that, though?
It's only Crystal that I have a problem with the casting of. And to be honest, maybe if she was given more to do other than nothing, she would have been better. But I didn't get the impression that she was, you know, capable of elevating the material, even though it didn't deserve it. So in recent years in the comics, there's been like kind of a war between the Inhumans and the X-Men, because there's a lot similar about them, but there's enough different that you can imagine them having serious issues with each other. The sort of more egalitarian nature of the X-Men in terms of, well, anyone could be one of us, and the Inhumans are a lot more standoffish. Something with that, now that Marvel's got those rights back to play with, we don't need to try and integrate the existing X-Men continuity. I think it's fine for that to be finished now.
Yes.
And yeah, by all means, recast if you need to. I don't think there's a huge problem with it. You know, we recast the Hulk early on and that was fine. You can swap people around, it's all fine. Can we recast Martin Freeman as well while we're at it? Let's just get somebody else in there.
I will only say I'm just nervous about them recasting all the Netflix characters, which I do not want, even Iron Fist.
No.
I will defend the fact that the Defenders was just them punching a building. Which is fantastic. Fine by me.
There is absolutely a difference between, hey, this all over here worked, and we're not going to keep doing the same thing, but let's see what bits we can lift from it, and just jettisoning all the baggage of the Inhumans because very little worked. Like I say, the thing that worked the best was some of the casting. And again, you're not going to get Anson Mount back now. He's going to be pretty busy. So yeah, that I would do something. If you're going to bring the X-Men into the universe, that would be a good opportunity to do something there with it.
Okay, well, there's only one thing left for me to ask now, which is, Phil, if you had the voice to shatter solid objects, what would you use it for?
What would I use it for? I mean, I'd obviously go and yell at someone. I don't know. I'm just going to yell at Downing Street. There we go. Both addresses on Downing Street. Let's just knock those down. That'll be fine.
You could take the EU side in the negotiations.
And just keep pointing at the treaty. Just not saying anything, just pointing. Just pointing.
Phil, thank you, and Excelsior.
Excelsior.
If you've enjoyed this, don't forget you can find more editions of It's Good Except It Sucks, and plenty more besides, including details of my book Can't Help Thinking About Me, at timworthington.org.